We have the pleasure today in our interviews from Greece to talk to Faye Makandassi, Research Director of Dianeosis. Mrs. Makandassi, please tell us what is Dianeosis and your role in it.
Hi, Stamatis. Thank you for inviting me to discuss at Grecian Echoes and presenting the Dianeosis and its work to your audience. Let me start by saying a couple of words about the Dianeosis. The Dianeosis is a think tank, is an independent, private, non-profit research organization founded in Athens in 2015. Its goal is to stimulate public debate by providing well-substantiated data and formulate proposals that will help to solve critical institutional, economic and social problems in Greece. So, in other words, we aim to participate in the social dialogue to modernize Greece. Our research activities are mostly outsourced to teams of high-tier Greek and international experts. Most of our reports are voluminous, and however, we accompany them with popularized executive summaries and articles that simplify the main research findings. Additionally, we create brochures that highlight the main problems in critical sectors of our economy and come up with quick wins and medium-term and long-term policy recommendations of how to remove obstacles and reduce bottlenecks, as well as how to trigger economic recovery. We also launch national polls to identify what Greeks believe on a series of important issues, socioeconomic issues, both before and during the pandemic. Especially during the pandemic, we created questionnaires in collaboration with the National Vaccination Committee. These findings are very often used by journalists, policymakers, ambassadors, researchers, and in addition, we launch polls to targeted groups and audience, such as Greek exporting firms or Greek diaspora in Great Britain, how, for example, people affected by the decarbonization in the three lignite regions in Greece.
So, you're a think tank, and you create a lot of reports. The question that comes to everybody's mind listening is, are you unbiased? I'm sure you will say you are, but how can you ensure us that your reports are unbiased?
As I previously said, we mostly outsourced our research to high tier of Greek and international experts. So, for example, the research about the Greek diaspora in Great Britain, we collaborated with CSOX in the University of Oxford. Okay. So it speaks louder than words.
Good. So the scientific the scientific community is the guarantee is there. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. You have the benefit of having a bird's eye view on the Greek economy, on the Greek state, on the people living in Greece. How would you summarize some of the, let's start with the challenges first, and then I will ask you about the opportunities. Because you're in a unique position to take a step back and again look at the entire country, culture, economy, people. So based on the research that you all have done the last years, what will you see some of the challenges are?
Mm-hmm. Nice question. So Greece is facing two main challenges. It's demographic. Demographics is like a time bomb on the foundations of the Greek economy. In our study, eight scenarios were calculated. Also, a population.
Let me ask you bluntly. Are we mm-hmm. becoming smaller as a nation?
The answer is yes. Unfortunately, all scenarios show a population decline by 2050. In 2050, the country's population is estimated to be between 10 million in the most optimistic scenario and 8.3 million in the most pessimistic scenario.
And what is the number today?
It's about 11 million, but the data were back to 2011.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
We will have the newest, probably at 2023.
There's no question this is unexpected.
There is also an intermediate scenario where we will be 8.8 million.
And this is an existential problem. And based on your research, is the solution based on culture, or is the solution based on politics?
I think that demographic is a problem across Europe. It's not a particular Greek problem. So fertility rates have dropped below of the threshold of 2.1 children per mother in all European countries several decades ago. In Greece, this drop was first documented towards the end of the 1980s, when the fertility rate dropped below 1.7. Since then, it was remained very low. If I remember right, in 2016, we have one of the lowest fertility rates in the world. It's about 1.38. And countries that have been successful at keeping their fertility rate high, like Sweden and France, it's implement family-friendly policies that take into consideration the complexity of the contemporary households. So parental leaves, financial assistance, low-cost access to daycare centers and preschool education programs are among the benefits that help eager couples become parents. But Greek governments must implement, I will say, a new set of family policies in order to support couples that want to have children but face somehow overwhelming obstacles to starting a family. So policies, in my opinion, need to be pursued in three dimensions, in three pillars. We need to be proactive in protecting family, both socially and financially. We also need to facilitate family to have a balance between professional and family life, and of course to support the institution of motherhood and build a more family friendly society.
Is there a light at the end of the tunnel? What do the data say?
I will be pessimistic, but realistic simultaneously.
Okay. I think you answered the question.
It's very difficult to overcome the trap of low fertility rates.
Yeah. What are some of the opportunities that you see Greece? Again, the culture, the life, the economy. What is on the bright side based on, again, the bird's eye view that you see?
Okay, let's concentrate on the bright side, as you said. Investments for the implementation, for example, of the so-called intelligent agriculture in water, energy, and digital applications can be revolutionary importance and priority. Let me say that the 80% of water consumed is used for agricultural purposes, while in many cases we have uncontrollable use of pesticides and fertilizers. So the reorganization of the primary sector, where Greece has a comparative advantage, and also the utilization of contemporary technologies, can multiply the contribution to the GDP, create job vacancies, and increase the income of professional farmers.
Is any other game changer that you see can help Greece?
A game changer. I will say that in the public debate, we usually refer to the tourism as the heavy industry, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. So a study, indicates that in a 5-year period, Greece could earn 13.5 billion and create 175,000 jobs from senior tourism, from real estate sales and long duration stays for elderly tourists, medical and therapeutic tourism. Wellness tourism, which addresses a younger cohort, can generate similar results over the same period, over the 5 years I previously said.
Yeah. Coming from, again, you know, we do not live in Greece, and when you do not live in Greece, you know, it's maybe unfair to ask this, but for the last 30, 40 years, you know, we always talk about tourism and the history we have and all that. I always say this, Las Vegas is a city, it's not a country. Las Vegas has 40 million tourists a year. I'm not saying to get to that level, but why we always talk about tourism and it's always at that level?
Excuse me, Stamatis. Yeah. I can't hear you very well. But
what would be the inflection point to get the tourism industry really accelerate?
Could you repeat?
What would be the one point that will help accelerate the growth of tourism? For so many years, so many different governments they've tried, but we're still at the same level.
Of course, we are still at the same level because we face some problems that are like mythical dragons. I will say keep growth employment and prosperity captive. For example, we have a very dysfunctional tax system. Let me stress your attention that the tax evasion in Greece, as the Aneosis research points out, is between 6 and 9% of GDP. In other words, 60 billion.
Yeah.
Moreover, the 8% of taxpayers pays the 70% of natural person taxes. We also have an enormous debt that hanging over our head like Damocles' sword, and also slow justice procedure. For example, for a business court for a business court case to get resolved in Greece, it takes on average 1,500 days. Another dragon is the overregulation and bad legislation, which are the source of red tape in the public sector. And last but not least, the faltering social security system. From 2000 until now, it has absorbed 250 billion in government grants, which can be interpreted that the economy could have used all these resources in a more productive manner with development footprint.
So those are very big challenges, and my last question is, once you see everything and you put it all, the challenges and the opportunities, what is the balance? Are you optimistic for the future?
I feel a bit ambivalent. So I feel that the answer to all these problems is to move forward with quick restart and rebuild our economy towards more employment, towards more efficiency and extroversion, innovation, research and development, social cohesion. I hope I don't sound like a politician, Stamatis, but I believe that the spirit, for example, the Greece 2.0, which is a translation of report of Pissarides Committee about the Greek economy, synthesizes many instruments towards the implementation of investment projects, and also it has it names 58 reforms.
Okay. There is a plan at least, and there is hope if we implement that plan.
I hope so. What we need is a sustaining political will. Let me to conclude with this that actually we need a sustaining political will. We have short electoral cycles, as you know, and a social consensus. Let me remind you the intensified social tensions that we have during the memorandum years. So, and finally, pursuing the reforms with determination.
Well, Director of the Aneosis Research, Director of the Aneosis, Faye Makandasi, thank you very much for your realistic points of view. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you, Stamatis.